You have to just figure out your own, I call it the mommy life equation at this point. Where am I spending my time? Where am I spending my energy, most importantly? And how does it feel?
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate you in your wealth consciousness, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Oracle of Wealth. And many people have different definitions of wealth, but I definitely know that one thing that I think a lot of people consider wealth is time. And having freedom of time, having the freedom to have time, and having the freedom to do what we want to do with our time. And so today we're going to dive into this topic with our wonderful guest, Katie Krimitsos, who is the creator of the Women's Meditation Network, a collection of 20 guided meditation podcasts that help listeners feel more calm, sleep easier, release anxiety, and consciously create their lives, which we're all about, aren't we? So, Katie, welcome. Wonderful to have you here.
Alara, thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited to be here.
So, you became a mother, and let's go to that moment in time. You were already an entrepreneur, and you became a mother. And what was the change in your relationship to time?
Oh boy. So by the time I had my first daughter in 2015, I had already been in the entrepreneurial game since 2009. So it was, I had already had some years under my belt. That said, because I did not have kids prior to that, I was very used to being able to dedicate all of my time to anything I wanted all the time. Meaning, you know, I could work 100-hour weeks, and as long as my energy could keep up, I could do it. And somewhere in there, in 2014, I launched my very own business. Prior to that, I had been in business with my husband. And so in 2014, I launched my very own business, which was my first podcast. And it was a business podcast. And it was for women entrepreneurs. And I basically built a consulting practice. And so I used the podcast as a way to be able to bring clients in. I was a strategic, you know, business growth strategist and had masterminds, had all the things. And I, by the time my daughter came around, I was slow to piecemeal that business together to kind of get it. Cause I kind of went in like, I just kind of like this podcasting thing. So by the time she came, I had just started kind of getting things, like I had just started taking on my first clients, you know, the year prior to that. So now when she was here, I was like, oh shoot, there's a real stop. There's a real stop and some real boundaries that I need to have if I really want to put my heart and soul into these two areas of my life that I love so much. And if I don't want to believe the limiting belief that in order to blow life into one, I have to take life out of another. I really didn't want to believe in that belief. And I still don't believe in that. It's a very hard belief to dismantle, though, and completely dismantle. So I have my daughter. Fast forward, she's about 9 months old. And I went away on a what I like to call a Katie retreat, a solo retreat. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing these prior to kids, prior to husbands. I would just like go away for like a long weekend by myself. It's become more and more important to me as I now have two kids and, you know, a thriving business and all of the things. But I went away on a Katie retreat, and I kind of organically, I knew I needed to kind of work some stuff out in this arena. Like things weren't really jiving. I was feeling like I wanted to be with her all the time. And yet I also really wanted to have the time to do my business. And it wasn't working to try and do them at the same time. So I was like, okay, so organically what ended up coming out of that time was me sort of jotting down what I later would call my mompreneur equation. So what's my mompreneur equation? What's my mompreneur mission statement? And it was early on me making a statement and a declaration that I will be able to have it all. I will be able, everything that I could possibly imagine and dream of, being the kind of mom that I really wanted to be, having the time of the quality time with my kid that I really wanted to have, and having the thriving business that I really wanted, and having the thriving relationship, and the, you know, the healthy physical health, right? Like all of that was possible. So it was sort of this declaration that I was saying, this is all possible, but I need some real world practical, like, tools to make it work, because I used to believe that true freedom was anything and everything all at once, anytime I wanted it. And I continue to learn the lesson that true freedom, in my experience, actually comes from discipline and a willingness to always know and let the values, let my values lead. So really what I'm trying, the story I'm trying to tell is that in my mompreneur equation, what that ended up distilling down to was, okay, what are my values? My values are being a mom who's there for my kid a lot, and being very involved in her, in raising her. And then my values are time with my husband, and my values are spending time in this business and growing this business and really making an impact. And then I said, if these are my values, how are they showing up on my calendar? And so this is sort of that conversation of time, because, you know, I know that there's an author who says, like, you know, time is, you know, just a concept, but like we have to kind of work with earthly time, right? Yep. So how can I work with earthly time? How can I still know that I can have everything and it's everything's available to me, but I have to work with this earthly time? So for me, that showed up as, let me put my values on my calendar. Meaning, if I say that time with my daughter is really important to me, when am I scheduled to have time with my daughter? If I say that time with my husband is really important to me and vital for our relationship, when am I spending time with my husband? When am I spending time on my business? And what I did from there was create sort of a very simple weekly template of what my weeks would look like and just block those times out. And that became a really beautiful discipline and a practice for me to sort of weave in activities of the day. And what ended up happening is that when that, what I'll call like your basic time management, really paired with like energy management, which was, you know, actually on, you know, Mondays when I think I'm so ready to like write and be creative, I don't want to write and be creative on Monday. I want to like check shit off of a list, and I want to like be like, so let me move that around. And, you know, if I want this time with my daughter, let's say she goes to daycare twice a week for a couple of hours each day, like when is the best time for her to go that I'm actually going to be able to get work done versus just recover from being mom, right? So there was a lot of like intentional thought about how I was structuring that calendar and how I was managing my energy with that calendar. And then literally that's sort of been the basis of how I've continued to live my life and how I've continued to sort of play with time. It's never perfect. It's always evolving. It's always shifting and changing. But I have found in that organization of earthly time, I'm able to sort of expand what's possible within that time. Because what I find when I actually do it well, which is not always, is that time slows down in those beautiful moments. Like I am like, when I'm in the energy with my kids, I'm just like, wow, like we're there, we're present. I actually do, you know, you talk about boundaries. Like I'm typically no work around my kids. Like they know that mom works, but it's the rarity that I'm like doing work while they're around so that I could be there with them, you know, so I could be mom. I could be, have these memories. I could just be present with whatever is. And then vice versa with work. Like it is, okay, it's work time. Boom, 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 boom. And so I'm able to expand the output really, or the experience of whatever thing I'm in, because I'm not anywhere else. Does that make sense? So those are very practical things that I've done that I feel end up having, over time changed my relationship with time, because I'm not going to tell you, I don't feel this nagging like, oh my God, like there's so much to do. There's not enough time to do it. I feel that. I'm human, but I feel like I can sort of move beyond that into the space of like an enormous amount of trust, you know?
Yes. A couple of things you commented there. You know, yes, of course, time is made up. It's illusionary. And just as you said, we have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, we have this thing of earthly time. And when we're really clear with ourselves, as you did, like sitting down, really allocating, really saying, what is my priority? What matters to me? And blocking out that time, right? That, I think, takes so much presence and just simply courage. Like, my values matter to me, right? I'm going mm-hmm. to block out the time. Like, that's a big statement to ourselves. And often we can think, well, I'm not going to get everything done. But the reason that time is an illusion is because when we are deeply present to the moment, time slows down, just as you mentioned.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
Yes.
And yeah. what I loved is how you was really kind of wrapped that all together with, it's really about being fully present to whatever it is you're doing. That's what actually grants you the availability to the time. And this is where we actually battle time. This is where we believe that we don't have enough time. This is where we truly experience a shortage, a lack of scarcity of time, is where we are trying to do multiple things at once. We are trying to be in work, but we're up in our heads. We're trying to be with our kids, but our mind is at work and our energy is scattered. And whether people are aware of that truth or not, like you and I are deeply connected to our energy. We can feel that.
Yeah.
This is the symptom, is that feeling like, I just can't get this stuff done. I just don't have enough time. For me, you know, it always feels like, yeah, I've got lots of things that I need to do that need to get done, but it never feels like I don't have time to do it. It just always feels as though things will get done when they need to get done. And it always occurs that way. Always occurs that way because I am fully present to the moment and I'm not anxious, right? And in the perspective of I don't have enough time, I'm quite the opposite. I have plenty of time. I too have children. I have young children. And yet I have trained myself to believe that. So I want to go back to what you said about that belief that was challenging for you, that if you want to like expand your business, you have to blow time or energy into that. And that takes from your other aspects of your life.
Yeah.
That you mentioned was quite challenging to shift that belief. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh my God. Man, girl, we can unlayer this pretty deeply if we want to.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to say, because it pairs with this belief as it relates to abundance as well and prosperity. Subconsciously, I grew up believing that you either had wealth, i.e. money, or you had family and time. Mm. And so I grew up thinking that like rich people are bad and, you know, non-rich people or poor people were figuring it out. Like, you know, I grew up on that end. So it was very much, and this was not a conscious, you know, thing that my parents taught me. It was just something that was sort of in the ether of life, right? Of how he did stuff. And so it was interesting. And these two concepts really coincide because I significantly remember the moment when I knew I had money mindset work to do. And because I was like, how do I build more? How do I have more and let it be okay? One of the things I found when I was digging under there was this concept of, oh man, I've got this limiting belief called I can't be mom and successful in business at the same time. Why? Because something from my past or some story is there called, well, because if you make a lot of money or therefore like are spending a lot of time in your business, you're spending way too much time working and that means you're not at home with kids. You're not spending time at home. That means you're not a good mom. Again, none of this stuff was directly said to me by parents. Like my parents are amazing. And this was there, right? And so it pairs with that in the sense of like, it was an either or situation, mm-hmm. work or family, or you could do both, but it meant that neither were going to be great. Or you really needed to make, or you could do both, or, you know, from what I grew up with, you better do family better. And so this could just sort of, you work to live. You don't live to work. You don't work because it's like a passion. You work because you're good at it. It's a profession and you get a paycheck, right? So the way that I did life And the, you know, from the moment I quit corporate was completely blowing up some of those belief systems. And so when I became a mom and it was sort of like unlayering, okay, I can have all of this. What's he like, how? Like, how do I have all this? And a lot of that was an enormous amount of like self-forgiveness. And like, I can still remember, like, I had this very big visualization when I sort of had this realization of this like motherly hug that came around me and was like, it's okay. You're a phenomenal mom and you're a phenomenal businesswoman. You can be both. You can be all of it. And you can have prosperity and wealth and abundance in all of these spaces. And now you just have to figure out your own equation. You have to just figure out your own, I call it the mommy life equation at this point. Like, where am I spending my time? What, how much, how, where am I spending my energy most importantly? And how does it feel? So like in this moment, prior to this week, my mommy life equation was like 25% work, 75% like mom life, home life, all of the things. We have like a growing farm here at my house, no joke, with all the animals and all sorts of stuff. And it's a lot. And so, you know, I, as much as I love that, it also wasn't feeling great for too long. So I was like, okay, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more work time. How do I take a stand for that? How do I make take a stand for that in a way that doesn't make me feel like I'm, you know, allowing guilt to come in for not picking up my kids every single day? Like, how can I let it be okay that my husband picks up my kids on a couple days a week? You know, like little things like that. So that's kind of where the rubber meets the road in my life. And it's a constant dismantling of that belief. I can be all, because I already am. We already are, you know, like we already are everything that we can possibly dream up that we can be. And so it's just a matter of like allowing ourselves to be that.
Absolutely. And it's important, you know, for the audience, for those who aren't moms, it doesn't matter because time is one of those things that you could be, you know, you could be thinking, well, I have to work and put all my effort into my business. I don't have time to go enjoy myself. I mean, you know, one of the primary kind of teachings, programmings of society is that you work and you grind until you're 65 and then go enjoy your life, right? Then you have your golden years, then you get to live. And while not everybody lives that way, it's still about understanding that we don't have to split ourselves in this way of, I have to do this in order to have the other things. I really love how you said, I can have it all. I can have it all. And when we start to call out those decrees and really, I love to say them out loud because our own voice is so powerful. You'll so powerful. Feel it. Like, do I really believe that? Right?
Yeah.
Is yes. that really true?
Really?
Can I?
Yeah.
And it sounds like the way that you worked through it, one of the ways you worked outside of the awareness of the limiting belief was really about action and taking in the moment the choice and applying that decision, again, like you said, your values to action. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like a giant piece of the puzzle here is our willingness to listen to the guidance inside of us, our willingness to listen to intuition, our willingness to listen to spirit, to God, to your universal guidance, whatever you want to call it. Like, there is a real knowing that we have. Like, we know all of the answers already, and or we are, you know, our divinity is there to guide us along this way. So I feel like that's one thing that that is a muscle I have flexed a lot. And I feel like I have gotten really good at that, meaning that I can notice and become very aware very quickly when something feels off. I can become aware and be and notice very quickly when I feel like a call to do something. So I'll give you this example because for me, this is where it all happens, which is trusting and surrendering to the guidance of our intuition, the guidance of spirit that is guiding us like along this path and how to do it all. That really answers my questions on like, well, how do I do all this stuff? Well, tune in. What do you hear? And sometimes it's like this little half step here and this little half step here. So I'll give you this really beautiful example. So last week there was this giant gala award ceremony. I live in Tampa Bay, and I had gotten nominated. I was one of like the finalists for this Women Who Win award, like women in the community who are doing really cool things and helping the community out, right? And so I was nominated for this award, and it was this big gala black tie event that was going to happen, and it happened last Friday. And you know, like, it's a really good PR opportunity. I'm proud and happy. I'm also a little like, okay, yeah, you nominated me for this award. Now you're offering to, you know, have me buy the $10,000 table so that my team can come. Like, I'm a little like, I know what it is, you know, but it's also really good. And thank you. And I feel seen. That's super cool. And so we were getting closer to the event. And like 3 days before the event, I just heard this whisper, like, ask your daughter if she wants to go. So my 9-year-old daughter, my oldest daughter, I asked her, I was like, do you want to be my date? Can we have a mommy daughter date, you know, at this gala? And this is what it's it. This is what it is. We could get all cute and adorable and wear these cool outfits. And she lit up like, yes, that would be amazing. Oh. And so we went to this gala. To say that it was special would be such an understatement. It was like, it made core memories for the both of us. Like, it was so divine and so beautiful. I was so there and present with her. And there were just all these beautiful moments of like, she's like, mom, you're going to win. And it was beautiful to see her in her pride for mommy. I didn't win, FYI, in my category, but I didn't care. But it was beautiful to be able to say like, hey, you know what, girl? Like, the most important thing is that you and I are here spending a mommy-daughter day together. None of this other stuff really matters that much, you know, like, it's cool. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. But this is where the juice is, right? So there's just all of these moments. She's doing cartwheels in the hallway where we ate sushi afterwards. And I say all this because I had at least a dozen other women come up to me and say, I wish I would have brought my daughter, like with a very sincere longing in their eyes. Like, shoot, I didn't bring my daughter. Like, I really should have brought my daughter. And I just, in that moment, no reflection on them, but I felt so grateful that I listened to that voice because, and this is where like it all expands, right? Because if I hadn't listened to that voice, if I hadn't listened to my intuition telling me to do that, it like I just would never have had that experience and created that for the both of us. And the same, I could tell you a dozen stories like that in business. I could tell you a dozen stories like that in my relationship. And so for me, the through line is always, how are we staying in touch with our intuition so that it leads us through this piecemealing of our lives together? And to be honest, that's why I do meditation, because I believe meditation is a powerful tool, not the only tool, but like a very powerful tool to give yourself opportunities to hear that. So, you know, how do I know if my mommy equation is off? Like, I can feel it. I'm attuned to what feels good for me. I'm listening for some guidance on what more I could do over here, what less I could do over here, you know?
Absolutely. And our wisdom can also tell us, you know, what's available to us now. We can't always see what we can't see, basically. And sometimes we're like, oh, I really want to sit and do this thing. But our internal wisdom is saying, no, go do this. And when we go do that, we recognize, oh, wow, that was actually more available to me in the moment. This was the thing that was ready for me. So yes. Always, I mean, throughout my day, that's all I do is my finger on the pulse of that intuition, what is currently available. And to me, that is also what grants me that availability to, I have a list of things to do. You know what? They're going to get done. Because I'm very clear that they need to get done and they will fall right into place. And it makes each action so much more impactful because it is aligned in that moment. And it's aligned in a way that our mind could never comprehend or understand or, you know, book in our calendar. So absolutely, it's so important. I loved your story about your daughter and taking her to that event with you. So you have your meditation podcast. How else can people find you, connect with you?
Yeah. So really wherever, whatever podcast player you're listening to now, you can just go look up Women's Meditation Network. As you had beautifully mentioned, we actually have 20 different podcasts across the network that are designed to help women in any season of their life, any time of day, for any particular reason. Like Meditation for Women is our original, Sleep Meditation for Women, Morning Meditation for Women, Meditation for Anxiety. You get the picture. We got a lot. So and you can also go to womensmeditationnetwork.com and just, you know, visually see all the different podcasts that we have available for you, and therefore episodes on each of those podcasts.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Katie, for being here with me today and sharing your wisdom around time. And I thought it was going to be a delicious conversation, as it was, because again, being a mother, whether the audience is a mother or not, it does really change our relationship to it. And, you know, we become really good at mastering it.
Yes.
Or like Katie and I were saying, or it eats you alive. Time will just eat you alive.
You'll go under fast, so you better learn. Oh my goodness. Yes, exactly.
So thank you, Katie. And to the audience, definitely check out her podcast and her entire network. And for sure, you will find something there that can support you and really help you to connect to your wisdom and learn how you don't have to agree to these scarcity beliefs around time. You can learn to be in the present moment. You can learn to relax your body, relax your mind through meditation, and really ultimately slow down. Time, space, it is possible. Much love to you all.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com